All right, and we're back again. I'm here with Harry Miller, and we were just talking about the support that the peacekeeping mission received in Bosnia from the Canadian government, and we'll continue on with that. So you were talking about the support that your mission received, and if you felt that that was sufficient or not?
Well, we had... We had five martyrs. This was in our area for support. Support. It was actually a German chassis with a 20 millimeter cannon on it. But our area was very volatile as far as our area is concerned because it was mined in certain areas. Our actual base was mined. And they attempted to withdraw the mines, and one of our senior NCOs got blown up, so they ceased removing the mines, and they taped it all off. So I think General McKenzie said if we were an actual attacked by the Serbians or the Croatians, he would like to be able to call in an airstrike if need be. And my understanding is that he couldn't get any cooperation from the United Nations in New York, and he got very frustrated in his job carrying out. As far as the Canadian forces are concerned, or the Canadian government is concerned, I really don't think that they were really up on what is actually entailed in Yugoslavia. So in that part, they wouldn't really know what support we needed. And we had a base, and there was a NATO base in bases in Germany where we, if the Canadian government or the UN United Nations delegation could designate air support, but I understand that this never happened.
Okay. So overall you didn't feel that the United Nations gave that much support either then?
No, not as not to my recognition. No, we should have had more support from the United Nations, where we wouldn't have to worry about if we were attacked, and if we could get the support we need. That I don't think really materialized.
Okay. What about from the Canadian public? Do you feel that they knew much about the mission and gave their support to the mission?
Well, I think if they knew more about it, they would give our support. But my opinion is they didn't really know that much more about it than what was in this area of Squamish.
Okay.
Or the city of Victoria. So it was never established in the paper. Was never really brought over the news about Bosnia.
So people didn't really know that there were forces, Canadian forces over there?
No, there was very few that knew that we had a mandate over in Bosnia.
Okay. All right, so let's move on to another question. I'd like to know and understand the type of prejudices that you might have encountered during your peacekeeping mission. You talked about the ethnic tension between the groups. So if you'd like to elaborate on that, the type of prejudices that you saw every day and that you encountered.
Well, it's not so much the prejudice. The Serbians were trying to eliminate ethnic cleansing in that certain area we were in, and by the time that we arrived, there had been a lot of battles there already done. They'd burnt out, bombed out, a lot of stray animals running around, and what all we were doing is trying to keep the both sides from going at it again. So we were a buffer zone between the Croatians and the Serbs. I'm not sure. I would say, in the fact that, like I said, a lot of people resented us being there. Mainly, it's the police that they had there. There were, in my understanding, the police in our sector were, when the regime, the government collapsed, they were allowed out of prison. Now, these are prisoners that were in jail. They made them up as police to do their job as policemen. And my understanding is these done maybe in atrocities while we were there. This is not positive, but there was a lot of things that came out after the fact. And when I was down in, for instance, I was down in Nova Scotia, to Halifax, and I went to Pier 51, and they had a second level in the building, and this was the area where they're preparing troops for overseas tour in the Second World War, and this is a big pier, and I happened to go upstairs, and like I said, I was looking at pictures of Bosnia, and I knew the area, and they asked me, and a couple of people asked me if that was my display, and I said no, I had nothing to do with that, but I know the area, and I know what was happening there, and they had no idea that we were fighting, in, or not so much fighting, but doing a job in Bosnia, and what the job entailed.
So did you witness any the ethnic cleansing while you were there?
No, I didn't witness any ethnic cleansing when I was there. I seen a young man blown up by a mine. I seen them, like the Croatians, put up a Christmas tree because we were there during Christmas and New Year's, and a nice new flagpole and a flag, and the Serbs blew it up. They just didn't like the new flag or their Croatian flag. Yeah, a Christmas tree. They just blew it up. I did see some. I knew of a gas station that was blowing up while we were there. I knew a church, a mosque, that was blowing up while we were there. But this happened during the night when we weren't on the roads. It happened in series. But I had taken pictures of the moss and it's different. Whatever, when it was blown up, they'd put a hole in the roof, then they'd blow the roof off her and blow the insides up, and the only things left was the four walls. So they, you know, they'd done this over a period of time. But we did see a few problems, and I did see a car and two personnel got blown away, but that didn't really affect me as so much as because I've seen other happenings, so it really didn't bother me as much.
How did you internalize it, though, seeing that, you know, there was obviously a lot of hatred there, that they'd blow things up, such as like a Christmas tree or a flagpole and that sort of thing. How did you internalize that?
Well, I thought that the Serbians thought that they weren't getting a level break like the Croatians were getting. So, in actual fact, they start to resent the Croatians, and the Croatians were trying to get on along with their life, and the Serbians didn't want them to do that.
I see. Okay. You talked a little bit about this before, and as a peacekeeper, part of your mandate, correct me if I'm wrong, is to remain neutral in the conflict. And in Bosnia, with all the different ethnic groups and the different sides, did you find that very difficult?
Yeah, it was very difficult, because in our society we try to help people, even ones that are down and out and maybe injured. We weren't supposed to, according to our mandate, help any of the different ethnic groups, because that was their internal strife, and we were just there to stop the main part of the fighting, for a buffer group. And other than that, a lot of our guys try to help the people by maybe a little bit of food and a little bit of money that they could go and maybe buy something for themselves or to survive. So in that sense, we were sort of hand tied.
Because of your mandate, do you think?
Yeah, that was mainly because our mandate. We were told that we weren't to interfere with basic day-to-day living.
Did that ever change over time? The peacekeeping mandate?
Well, I in the era we were in, things seemed to settle down, but not the whole time we were there. There was incidents here and there where our guys were getting shot at every day by the serfs. The Croatians wasn't bothering us at that time, and they didn't have any problems that way. They were just small incidents, that's all, here and there.
So the mandate didn't really change then?
Well, no, not as such. When we were there, the mandate didn't really change a lot the whole time we were there.
Okay.
We just had to fix up the area and carry on with our mandate job as we were there for the 6 months.
Did you feel that the tasks you were performing were useful or valuable?
Well, I would say the whole 6 months we were there was a useful tactic as far as we were concerned, because we were helping the shutdown of ethnic cleansing behind the scenes, while in certain areas we had no control of what they were doing behind the scenes.
I see.
They were trying, there was, and for instance, we had the RCMP detachment there, and they were watching a police station in our sector. There was people going in, and some people weren't coming back out, and also there was arms movements, and we raided the police station. That was about the last 2 months of our mandate. Well, it was in the third month of our mandate. We had raided this police station and found a huge cache of arms. So as far as we're concerned, we couldn't control an awful lot of what was going on between, because of our distance of outpost and the number of personnel we had to do the job.
So that affected, you think, the success or the effectiveness of the mission?
Yes, I would say very well.
Okay. So I think we can move on now to a bit, or it was like at the end of your mission. Do you want to go through with me what it was like at the very end and then coming back to Canada?
Well, things seemed to improve. It was getting into the last 2 months of our tour over there, because originally we were supposed to go through the split, as they call it, and our other group mandate had that firefight, which we were supposed to, and because we were so close to the end of our mandate, they canceled our movement from there to Sarajevo. And actually we started to receive portable buildings. Our accommodations were very poor over there. We were living on concrete slabs with there were very few buildings there. They were mostly destroyed. And we had a lot of tentage, but very inadequate heat. And that contributed to my health in consideration, because I ended up with the flu twice.
At the end?
That's getting close to the end. Well, I had one in the first 3 months and one after the end of the second 3 months after the new year. So I think that contributed towards my poor health, because we were living on cement slabs and it was very cold. They do have a winter season there. They do have ice and snow, and we were living in tentage with inadequate heating.
So was the morale quite low at that point?
Yes, because they couldn't actually supply the proper facilities. It was, as far as we were concerned, it was like war conditions. It wasn't as such that it was a peacekeeping mission anymore. It was just more of a survival conditions.
So by the time that it was time for everyone to go home, what was the feeling like? Were you looking forward to it? Or
yes, after when we got our return dates, there a lot of the guys were glad to go back, and we had guys that that wanted to volunteer for a second tour. So, you know, there was a lot of people that figure they've done something for the country. And they've helped the people to carry on with their lives.
Did you feel that way as well?
Yes, I think my opinion is we done an awful lot to help the people in that area to carry on whatever life they could carry on with.
Okay. So after your return, coming from Bosnia, where there was a lot of conflict and it was a war zone, coming back into Canada, where it's, you know, peacetime, mm-hmm. What was that like? Such a night and day.
Well, it's not that, like I said, that it really bothered me as such to come out of that and back into civilian life, is because I already had the two tours in Cyprus, and I seemed that it didn't really seem to bother me as much as I thought that it bothers other people, because they've never seen anything like that before, and they haven't, I guess because they're sheltered at home. And they're young guys that just came out of school and never been any other tours before, even to Germany or anything else. These are guys that never had any other tours.
Mm-hmm.
And something to see, like even Cyprus, and their way of living is completely different to ours. And so you had a learn... sort of learn as you go along.
Mm-hmm. Did the government have any services to help with coming back to Canada after your tour?
At that particular time, no. They they're learning more and more about it because of the war that's going on now, and the Canadian troops being in Afghanistan. They find out more and more about the mental problems of the soldiers that come out of the war zone, and they're starting to recognize that they should have had this in place when we started doing even peacekeeping.
Okay.
Because there wasn't a coverage on people. They figured there was nothing wrong with them, just that's the way they ended up, and they didn't care what the local troops felt like or anything else. There was a lot of emotions in the people, a lot of emotions in the guys, because they haven't experienced this before, and they were too sheltered at home, gone to school, and then joined the forces and sent overseas to do a peacekeeping job in a country they don't know nothing about, and know what the ethnic groups or what the people think or do.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely different from what we do and what we do here in our peaceful country.
Did the Army at that time use the term post-traumatic stress disorder?
Not until Afghanistan.
Okay, so after...
It's not that they didn't use it. They knew about it, but they weren't really that concerned about it when they started to get some of them having mental problems and all that. And then they started to introduce this post-traumatic stress disorder.
Okay. So how do you deal now with the memories of your conflict? You say that you've dealt with them better than some of the other soldiers who were a bit more sheltered. How do you deal with them now? How do you remember the service?
Well, we get together.
Okay.
Most of us that have served in at least one or two tours. My particular tour, all of the personnel that we toured together are all in Edmonton now, so I'm the only one in Victoria that was in Bosnia. We have a lot of guys that get together for lunch, and we discuss, and we talk about old times and each different experiments and situations that we ran across. And it's good this way because we can tell somebody that would understand what the person going through. Like if I tell a civilian, you know, a lot of times they don't believe you. They said, "Oh, it's not going on like that. I think you're pulling my leg," you know. But they don't understand. That's the thing is, see, the problem was the newspaper and the TV never covered on a lot of things like that. And because of the war going on now, that the troops are serving in Afghanistan, there's more news coverage. They get more paper coverage. And because they're losing their own troops.
So getting together with others is a helpful way to deal with
those
memories.
Yes, it is.
And so you talked about how civilians, because they didn't experience it themselves, the mission and the time there, there's a bit of a disconnect. Did you find that your family was affected by your service?
No, my wife, she's an ex-army brat. Her father was in the Irish Army. She was born in the barracks and lived around the army, so she understood what the army personnel go through when they have to go on exercise and other jobs they have to do. And she understood that why we were going where we were going, and She knew it was dangerous, but she just took it in stride, and she just told the kids. But there was one incident when my daughter, she didn't realize about Bosnia, and she said that if something did happen to me, she didn't care to live. That was because she was going through a traumatic part of her life, because she was into bulimia and actually she was losing an awful lot of weight, and she was actually to the point of death's door, and that didn't help, because when I went to Cyprus or Bosnia, that hit at the same time. And when I came back from Bosnia, I met her at the door, and when she opened the door, I actually started crying, because it was a condition of my daughter was in. She went anorexia and bulimia, and it took quite a while. I ended up with shingles because I was worried about my daughter. But we got through it all right, and she's doing very well.
That's good to hear.
So, things, if you can get together and discuss things with your kids after the fact, or your parents, whatever, things will come out, and you'll feel a lot better. You don't hold it in.
So communication is key.
Yeah, that's true. And even just talking to your friends, your buddies, in the service, they understand, and you can talk freely with them, and they don't laugh it off like it's fake or anything else, because they've been in through that before, so they understand. A lot of civilian personnel, they don't understand, and because of there wasn't the coverage or anything in the paper in the news, they wouldn't even know what was going on.